started in here.
Out in the streets there is violence, and there are not enough police around. The city council is failing, and no good local media found. Oh no, that's why I listen to the Justice and the Drew. No other show is finer. Oh, that's why I listen to the Justice and the Drew. And I love the Sam's Top Fiver.
Dig it.
Can you dig it?
Yes!
Is Maxine Waters in jail yet?
She should be.
No?
No, man.
I don't think she is yet.
No, not yet?
No.
Dude, okay. Maxine Waters has woke armor.
She does. People are just like, oh, she's just a crazy. She's just an old lady.
She's got woke armor, you know. And that's what you get. Now we're in a world now where, you know, thoughts that in the past that people had, it stayed in their heads.
Yes,
right. It stayed there. Or it came out when you're among, like, trusted friends, right? Conversations, right? And now Facebook and Twitter has given you the opportunity to just shotgun those comments and have them bolstered.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, when you're an individual like Maxine Waters who's just established a level of crazy and never been held accountable for it, she's able to come, you know, to swoop in to Minnesota.
What was she doing here in the first place?
Trying to incite violence, and she doesn't even understand. She doesn't even understand the charges that relate to the Derek Chauvin trial.
No, I doubt she does.
Not at all.
I doubt she's paid a bit of attention to it. I doubt she's watched a minute of it. You know, but yet she still swoops into Minnesota for God knows why. I mean, what the hell was she doing here in the first place? And shows up and tells everybody to be more confrontational, to take to the streets. I mean, we are hanging on to peace in Minnesota by a thread.
Yeah, man.
Just a hair. We have got a loose grip on a tiny little hair, and that's what's holding peace in place at the moment. And Maxine Waters shows up with a giant pair of scissors.
You're being optimistic with that string analogy. No, man, she doesn't. She's out there. If we don't get murder, just guilty of murder, then get more confrontational. Everyone's like, yeah, it's cool. No, it's,
where's Tim Walz?
It's not cool.
Did he have anything to say?
We got National Guard getting shot at.
Shot at. Right.
Guns pointed, fired, shot at.
But Aaron Rupar on Twitter informed me that, you know, it's worth noting that it's only the National Guard that have made these allegations. So, like, this is the one shooting where Aaron Rupar is like, let's all hold off and maybe wait for some facts, guys.
Wow.
That guy, how far he has fallen.
Seriously. Wow. That was one of the most disgusting tweets I think I've ever seen him send. It's worth noting that these allegations are solely coming from the National Guard at this time. We haven't heard from any Black Lives Matter protesters or Antifa yet to get their side.
I can't believe that's an actual human who has actually been in our studio and has actually been on this show.
Right?
My gosh.
But again, that demonstrates how, like, I don't think that these opinions have just, like, formed. Like, people didn't know, like, think, like, people have just fundamentally changed. No, I just, the world that we live in right now has enabled the ability to make ridiculous statements like this. We have commentary later on of this, running for Minneapolis City Council, this Rita Ortega, you know, suggesting, hey, you know, go and burn down the rich neighborhoods.
Yeah, specififying individual neighborhoods.
Don't burn those places down.
Not even, like, broadly generic, quote-unquote, rich neighborhoods. No, like, this specific one.
And they're running for office.
Uh-huh.
But again, that's that. You know, I bet you've had thoughts like that, right, throughout your very young life, because she seems very young to me. So, you know, just not very well educated in sort of how society works. But now they can put that out there into the ether, and because of the dynamics of social media, because of the ability that you have to just follow who you want to follow and block people who you want to block, mm-hmm. most of the time that results in just whatever you put out there ends up getting bolstered mm-hmm. and solidifies. Yep. And then you feel justified that you just made this incredibly dangerous call to violence.
Mm-hmm. Targeting specific neighborhoods in Minneapolis.
Unbelievable, man.
And she's actually running for office. Like, in other times, that would be a crime. In Minneapolis, it's a campaign slogan.
Oh, all right, we do have a show to get to. We will tell you what's on tap coming up before we get into Sam's Top 5 this morning, assuming that the internet has been scoured in the appropriate manner.
It sure has been.
All right, excellent. Sam's Top 5 coming up on Justice and Drew.
You can win $1,000 on Twin Cities.
On Justice and Drew here on Twin Cities News Talk, we will be talking with Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty, coming up at 7 o'clock this morning. He wants to get into core packing and Democrats and how they are telegraphing openly their intentions. And something we talked about last week, you know, when are the never Trump Republicans who voted for Biden going to come to their senses on this? Never, because they can't admit they were wrong.
Yeah.
Also, of course, we do have our Derek Chauvin trial coverage closing arguments today. Jason DeRussia and Scott Johnson will be joining us. I was listening to some really interesting commentary about, again, somebody from the outside of, you know, of the state who's been examining, who's watched all of the testimony, and even in their mind, he's like, look, from a purely looking at this from the reasonable doubt standpoint. If you completely strip away all of the variables involved, and you know, if you were like able to transplant this case to some place with just a bunch of non-biased people who don't know anything about anything,
right. take away everything,
all
the emotional investment that many people have made into the outcome of this trial.
So he was saying, like, if he was on the jury, he's like, I couldn't convict on any of these charges based off the reasonable doubt claim. But then he says, yeah, but. That's not where we are. And then he just mentioned like a smattering of all the things that we have talked about, including, you know, Maxine Waters coming to town on a weekend where the jury knows they're going to be handed this trial, you know, and deliberate starting today. And you got Maxine Waters out there, you know, so if we don't get murder, you know, guilty, and what you don't know, but what kind of impact could that potentially have?
I don't know.
I know.
Not good.
Right.
No good impact whatsoever. You know, I mean, maybe they'll get the charges they want. Maybe they'll get the guilty verdicts, and we won't see any significant unrest. But you know, if it doesn't come in, you can point right. I mean, you could point to Maxine Waters' comments based later that night. She made those comments about being more confrontational, and just a few hours later, two of our National Guard volunteers to residents of Minnesota, yeah. to people that live here and have volunteered to serve to try to protect the community, were shot at.
Well, feelings are justifying action, right? It's like the standards that we used to go by in society are just gone, and so now it's simply feelings. If I feel like there is an injustice being done, or I feel a certain way because of a thing that happened.
Your
I feel
truth.
That becomes your truth, that and therefore your truth. That's your reality, and you can do whatever you'd like off of that.
Let's jump into Sam's Top 5 for a Monday.
Number 1.
Investigators say that a carjacking suspect who fired shots at officers was shot and killed by police on Sunday during an incident on Highway 13 in Burnsville, Minnesota. The video of this incident is just bizarre and crazy. From Fox 9, according to police, the man in his 20s, who has not yet been identified, was reportedly driving a vehicle with stolen plates when he was involved in a crash. And shortly after that, police learned he was the suspect in an armed carjacking. Burnsville police started chasing this vehicle when they say that the man fired shots at officers. And they say that the man eventually crashed his vehicle on Highway 13 near I-35W, and he continued firing at officers as he got out of the car. Police returned fire, eventually hitting and killing him.
Yeah, he was, allegedly, according to the report, returning fire, but he was also trying to carjack another vehicle
in the middle of the highway.
In the middle of the highway, yeah. And it was a woman with, I think, a 6-year-old in the vehicle, and fortunately, she was smart and drove away, and this is how it ended. And yep. It's, nothing really was out of play here, right? I mean, things kind of went the way you would expect them to go. You got a guy with a gun in a highway firing shots, trying to carjack people. That's a recipe of getting shot by the police.
It was crazy, too. He, jumped out of the first car that he, that was smashed up from crashing it. He jumped out of it, rolled out of it, and then ran onto the highway. Mm-hmm. And his method of trying to carjack the new person that you're mentioning was just to, run out into the highway and start pointing a gun at people. And they were full out driving on the highway.
Yeah.
Well, it was something that I've never actually seen it happen in real life, but it was that scene that you always see in the movies. It was taken, that was straight out of, any random cop story.
Crazy.
where the bad guy goes, gets out of one car, hops in the freeway, pulls the gun out on the car driving up and tells them to get out of the vehicle. And apparently, according to the report, he was shooting out the back of the stolen vehicle at law enforcement. And we have some audio that we'll play at 7:20 this morning, because some of the eyewitnesses were like, hey, look, this was all on the up and up. But that didn't stop Black Lives Matter protesters showing up and immediately going and condemning the police officers. And again, the ignorance of how the law works. And you'll hear it in this audio of how, look, there's felonies. There's all these felonies taking place right now. We're standing here with all these cop cars. And people just have a fundamental misunderstanding and are not educating themselves on how due process works, how justice works, and how the law works. This was not and shouldn't be controversial or lumped in with anything that we're dealing with right now.
It shouldn't be, but there's some hypocrisy going on, especially in the way this has already been covered in just the short period of time. The Star Tribune, you remember when Dante White was shot, and it was all about his race, and it was it was right there in the headline, right front and center, making this a white police officer and a black victim. The headline on the Star Tribune this morning was, carjacking suspect dies after exchanging gunfire with Burnsville police. I mean, which is really benign, right? Just a really benign way of describing what actually happened here. It's just a carjacking suspect, exchange gunfire, right? No, I read the entire article word for word, no mention of the race of the victim whatsoever, even though it's plain as day. You can see it right there on the video that's all over Twitter. No mention of race, no mention whatsoever.
Well, I mean, and to me, it speaks to, if that's the standard, then just make that the standard.
That should be the standard.
That should be the standard. That's how things should be reported. And it was not all that long ago when we were dealing with issues of not including this. I remember covering stories about media outlets and how they specifically said they were no longer going to mention race in any of the stories anymore.
Yep.
Because they didn't want any, they didn't want any political correctness, or they were being politically correct. They were concerned about what that could do in certain communities. And now, within a short period of time, we've just flipped it where it's front and center if it fits a certain narrative and agenda.
Exactly.
The headlines that I first saw yesterday on social media when this story first broke, I saw it maybe 30 minutes after it happened, or after they started posting about it, and the headlines were pretty different, because I remember reading one, and it has now been edited because I just looked it up. It originally said officer involved shooting in Burnsville, and that's all that it said. It had no context. And then the response to it was, well, here for someone said, here for context, they had the video from the traffic camera that showed this crazy dude just running around on the highway with a gun, and that made way more sense. But originally the story was just officer involved shooting.
651-989-5855. Let's take a quick break. We'll jump right back into Sam's Top 5 when we come back.
Oh. 8 o'clock this morning, our continued coverage of the Derek Chauvin trial. Channel 4's Jason DeRussia, Scott Johnson from Powerline, and Alpha News will be joining us. Closing arguments today. And the jury will end up on getting the case, and then we'll And then we'll all collectively hold our breath.
And then we all live in darkness for then a while.
And then we all sit on a razor's edge and just wait.
It'll be interesting to see how people wait and how long it'll take.
They might not have to wait too long. I mean, this obviously, nobody knows what's in the jury's mind. Nobody knows how the jury's going to, what they're going to do once they go into deliberations and all of that. That all remains to be seen. But, I think there's just as much of a possibility of a very quick conviction as there is a extended deliberations and a potential for like a hung jury or something like that. I think the odds are about the same.
There's so many variables involved. There's so many, and even more that came up and popped up, over the weekend. Who knows what kind of impact, if any, that had. I mean, and that speaks to what we were talking about last week, and that is, that question of we probably never will know whether or not this trial was fair from the standpoint of just all those mitigating factors.
Yeah. Nobody can quantify the impact of the riots last summer. How that has impacted the individual jurors. It's going to be different for every single one. Nobody can quantify the impact of having to drive into downtown through what looks like a militarized zone, knowing that the potential for massive riots is just brimming right outside, and your verdict is going to be a major contributing factor to whether or not those riots occur. You have no idea whether or not each individual juror is able to look past that, or if that's going to convince them that, I better vote guilty here.
Well, and take all of that, and you can actually go and you can kind of flip it around too, because if you're a juror with everything that you just mentioned, Drew, if you look at the Dante Wright shooting, if you look at the carjacking and shooting that took place in Burnsville, I think there's also an argument to be made if you're a potential juror to go, well, okay, that seemed really justified there, complicated situation, and this seems like a horrible, horrible mistake, that this female officer did. I need to, just getting my head into a juror's mind, I need to make sure that I'm doing my due diligence and trying to shove away all of those ancillary things to look at just the case on its merits. And when you do that, that's what's really fascinating to me, is that when you hear somebody break down what the potential jury instructions can be, what the charges are, and looking at it from a you just need reasonable doubt standpoint, and you strip everything else out, it is a very, very complicated case based off of these charges, including that third degree charge that got thrown in the middle of jury selection.
Yeah. More on this coming up, obviously, in the 7:55 segment with Jason DeRusha and Scott Johnson. But let's jump back into Sam's top five for a Monday.
Number two.
Maxine Waters popped up here in Minnesota over the weekend, and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene is calling for her expulsion from Congress as a result.
Everybody's favorite representative.
Yeah.
Like one of the most popular Republicans out there.
Always, always taken seriously. So much credibility.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Maxine Waters should be expelled.
Like, yes.
There should be a legitimate and serious debate in the House over the expulsion of Maxine Waters based on these comments from over the weekend. But the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene is the one that is getting the headlines for leading the call for it pretty much means that it won't be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
It's super
because
unfortunate.
Because it should be taken seriously.
From Fox News, in a statement released by her office, Taylor Greene accused the California congresswoman of inciting Black Lives Matter domestic terrorists to fire gunshots at National Guardsmen in Minnesota after she spoke in Brooklyn Center, which has become, of course, a flashpoint, as the story points out, for protests following the fatal police shooting recently. This statement from her office read, "I'll be introducing a resolution to expel Representative Maxine Waters from Congress for her continual incitement of violence." That's what she does. That's like Maxine Waters' thing. She goes around and she incites violence.
That's her gig now.
It is.
And if you condemned what happened on January 6th, and you criticize President Donald Trump for any involvement that he may have had in the rally that took place prior to what happened at the Capitol on January 6th, then I hope that you are also condemning Maxine Waters for what she has said here. Because if not, you're a hypocrite.
Right. This is far more insightful. And you can directly connect this
right
with what's going on here, right? And far more insightful than what they accuse Donald Trump of. And you're right. It would be hypocritical to ignore this and not condemn this and condemn Donald Trump and what happened on January 6th. But, yeah, they're all hypocrites.
But then you're not
going to hear from Amy Klobuchar. You're not going to hear from Tina Smith. You're not going to hear from Tim Walz. You're not going to hear from Keith Ellison. You're not going to hear from Ryan Winkler. You're not going to hear from any of the usual suspects about this California congresswoman swooping into a volatile and dangerous situation and calling for more violence.
And therein, of course, lies the problem, right? Because all those things are going to happen like you laid out, then we have no opportunity to go and stop that thing from happening, right? There would be nothing wrong with Ellison or Walz or anybody else on the left condemning what Maxine Waters said. Mm-mm. There would be nothing wrong with Democrats and Republicans jumping on board with Marjorie Taylor Greene in this issue and pressing it forward, coming together. You want to talk about moving the country forward and stemming, trying to begin to quell the unrest and violence? It's something like this that could do that. If leadership came together to all roundly and soundly condemn what Maxine Waters said. But you're 100% correct. They have woke armor. Mm-hmm. They will not hurt their own, and that will not happen.
Number three.
Vandals left a pig's head at the one-time California home of, that would be a former home of a use of force expert who testified on behalf of the officer accused of killing George Floyd, from the Associated Press. It's not even
this
his
is
current home.
Such a bizarre story.
This is his former home.
These people
home.
Are disgusting.
He doesn't even live there. Blood was also smeared on the house in Santa Rosa, north of San Francisco, that once belonged to Barry Broad, a retired police officer who was on the stand in Minneapolis for the Derek Chauvin trial. Broad, a former Santa Rosa police officer, testified at this murder trial that he believes Officer Derek Chauvin's restraint of Floyd was in keeping with proper police practice. In a statement released after Broad's testimony, Santa Rosa Police Chief Rainer Navarro distanced himself from his department's former officer. And ultimately, we did end up with some super just disgusting vandalism that occurred at that home.
I mean, look, the people that are on the side of the people that are doing things like this, like, please call this out for the disgusting and completely unacceptable behavior that it is, leaving a pig's head on a doorstep in a house the guy doesn't even live in anymore.
Well, and let's couple this back with what we were talking about with jury deliberations. And what kind of impact that the protests could have. We know over the weekend, we have stories of there were protesters that showed up in front of Governor Tim Walz's residence. We talked about Rita Ortega running for Minneapolis City Council, who was specifically pointing out to rich neighborhoods and telling people, don't go and burn the poor neighborhoods, burn this neighborhood. If you're a juror, and you are actually paying attention to all of this, your name is going to become public record at some point. At some point, people will know who you were on that jury. That could take a while, right? I believe the judge has the ability to withhold that information for a period of time. At least that's what I've heard. That being said, it can get leaked. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the jury and you've got that in the back of your head and you see stories like this of, wow, you know, I see reasonable doubt in this, but if I end up being identified as the one juror mm-hmm. in this whole thing, what kind of danger am I putting myself in?
This is what happens when you enable mobs. When you enable mobs, you get mob rule. Right. And you get situations like you just described. You get situations in Brooklyn Center where a city council person was afraid to vote to not fire the city manager because of fear of the mob. Minnesota leadership in Minnesota has enabled mob rule now for years. And we've been talking about it for years, that this is a very dangerous precedent you're setting when you're allowing the mob to take over freeways willy-nilly, when you're enabling them and assisting them in taking over freeways and taking over city streets and showing up at people's houses and showing up in neighborhoods, and you're getting a little pat on the head and going, it's okay, it's all just free speech. You go ahead and protest right outside of Jason Lewis's front door, right, of his house. You go ahead and go on Bob Kroll's driveway and threaten to burn down the entire neighborhood. That's all free speech, and we get it. You're angry, and we understand it. This is what you've enabled now. We essentially are living under, at least in the right around in the Twin Cities metro area, under a threat of mob rule at any time.
Number four.
Minnesota State Patrol has updated their guidance on handling reporters during protests, otherwise known as riots. There can be no use of force and no seizing cameras. From Fox News, credentialed members of the press can no longer be subject to Minnesota State Patrol dispersal orders, and troopers will halt the practice of photographing them before letting them go while covering these protests, and have been prohibited from taking other actions against the media. The MSP began photographing journalists, their driver's licenses, and their press credentials during these protests, aka riots, over police brutality and racial justice. Sorry, I added that other part. It was purportedly intended as a means to identify members of the press who, throughout the chaotic demonstrations, riots that sometimes devolve into riots, but some members of the media reported authoritarian-like treatment. Critics are alleging that police were using retaliatory measures against journalists who covered the anti-police demonstrations, riots, and the American Civil Liberties Union took the issue to court, resulting in a temporary restraining order.
Well, and when you get into the story and the details of what happened here, it's really, really interesting, because the people that they profiled, these journalists doing that thing with my fingers, very appropriately, right? They're all listed. Almost every single one of them is listed as freelance.
Yeah, couldn't anybody just make their own credential, basically, for this kind of thing?
Of course, and we know they have.
It's and not anybody like... can call themselves a freelance journalist.
Yeah.
And it has been demonstrated, and it has been shown to happen in other areas, and even here, where you've got agitators in there that are basically calling themselves freelance journalists, and then using that against the police when they get themselves detained. Look, obviously, it goes without saying that legitimate members of the press should not be subjected to, you know, pepper spray and harsh treatment from law enforcement officials. Don't even need to say that, right? It's obvious. Anybody that values and respects the First Amendment. But we know that bad people and bad actors are using that kind of access to agitate and do bad things. So it puts law enforcement in a really precarious and tough situation.
Well, and according to the coverage, too, there is no mention of the freelance journalist with my fingers. And what brought on the altercation with law enforcement, right? So you can't be a journalist and then partaking in whatever's going on if that didn't need happen. But what's really interesting is in the story, there's a secondary element where it talks about the credentialed part of it and how they were corralled over and had everything looked over. So it seems like, at least according to the story, without spelling it out, there seemed to be a very clear delineation between the individuals who weren't immediately and readily identifiable as credible journalists and the actual credible journalists who did not have that one-on-one confrontation and were cordoned off to the side and looked at. Now, the Star Tribune actually even pointed this out. They complained about the actions of law enforcement, feeling like they had overstepped their bounds, but they also stated clearly that what they personally dealt with was just a sort of double checking of their credentials.
And that's what it should be.
Number five.
COVID issues have stalled the final two games of the Twins Angels series.
Is COVID still going on? I mean, I know I got half my shot if they drew.
Well, there's that racist UK variant.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot. You can't.
I'm sorry.
You can't say. You can't say UK, Drew. That's very bad. People get upset.
From the Star Tribune, after two Twins players tested positive for COVID-19 just before the game, MLB called off Saturday's game against the Los Angeles Angels and the Twins' first postponement because of COVID-19 issues within the team. It was the Twins' first postponement. And just more than an hour later, Sunday's matinee also went on the ice. The club avoided any such trouble in the shortened and delayed 2020 season, but the beginning of 2021 has not been as kind.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's minor. Hopefully it's, rather the asymptomatic type.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of these players have been vaccinated, have been getting the treatment, so mm-hmm. hopefully it doesn't spread anymore, and we get back to some fun baseball.
Nicely done, Sam.
Thank you.
All right, coming up, we got Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty. We're going to get his take on core packing and what his expectation is, how far the Democrats can go and push this to get what they want. Afterwards, we will dive into a bit of that Burnsville carjacking and shooting that took place. We have audio, two very interesting pieces of audio. One from an eyewitness who was like, hey, listen, cops did what they needed to do. And then the other from like protesters who just showed up and really had no idea what in the world was going on and don't know how the law works.